of the perek, I mean the topic that is implicit but not explicit in any sugya, namely the obligation of chiyuv hagada, the obligation to come forward and give testimony in a case where there's no sheker and there's no shvua, but simply the obligation when one knows testimony that can be impactful in a particular case, to step forward. And what we saw is that this is a very critical requirement in halachic life. There seems to be a debate about many of the details, whether it's an aseh or a lav or both, whether it is something which is an obligation towards the balei dinim or towards the system, whether there are differences between mamonis and isurim, and numerous other obligations that we just how to read the psukim and vayikra, the question of mazik in this context, numerous issues that we explored in the first three shiurim, and the conclusion, I guess, broadly speaking, is that there certainly is an obligation for witnesses who can affect the case, right, to come forward. Suppressing testimony is prohibited. Again, there's a lot of argument about the whys, the whats, and the wherefores, I guess. But that's the background, I guess that's why I call it the pre-topic, to our perek. So now we want to discuss the perek itself. And we began a little bit last week discussing the Mishnah. So let's betake ourselves, I guess, to that. And today, in the Maram Komos that we have, I want to discuss one particularly characteristic and interesting aspect of Shavuos Eidos, the idea of Mipi Acherim, or the relationship between Mipi Acherim and Mipi Atzmo. We actually had a perfect transition to that, and that was the Rajba, who, in his discussion of the source of Chiyuv Hagadah Seidos. So I'll explain that in just a minute. So getting back to the Mishnah again, and from here on, probably mostly go forward, pretty, linearly. So the Mishnah says that Shavuos Eidos Noheges Banashim, this is on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah in the Perek. We actually already did a little bit on Chav Tes on the base. But Shavuos Eidos Noheges Banashim Velo Banashim, Berchokim Velo Bekrovim, Bekshayrim Velo Bepsulim, Vein Noheges Ela Beruyin Lahayt. The first halach of the Mishnah, I'll just go through the Mishnah quickly, but the Mishnah really has, I think, four or so components, very important. And the more you know about them, the more that you can appreciate that they aren't random requirements or facts, but that each one, in a way, highlights or characterizes something very unique about Shavuos Eidos. At least that's my opinion. So the first thing is that Shavuos Eidos is limited to people who are ru'uyim lahayid. And there's a huge debate about what that actually means. I don't mean the details, because the details are also subject to discussion. Why is it that Shavuos Eidos is limited to Ru'uyim Lahayid? I think I already alluded to this. There can be two, broadly speaking, reasons, and that will dictate what we mean by Ru'uyim Lahayid. The simple pshat, or the minimum what we're saying, is that Shavuos Eidos only applies when suppressing testimony by means of a Shavuos Sheker impacts the case. In other words, it causes a loss to the baldavar. And therefore, it has to be people whose testimony would be effective, obviously. If it's nashim or krovim or psulim, right, who even if they came to court are disqualified in terms of their testimony, so then it's not a case of suppression, right, that is meaningful and impactful. So on the most basic level, when the Mishnah has this first requirement of ru'uyim lahayid, right, it just means that you have to be effective. The issue becomes, and we'll pursue this more going forward, but it's important to even know now that it's a question, the issue arises, right, when you can accomplish the first factor, right, in an alternative fashion. Let's say I can create a scenario where the suppression of information by these individuals, right, is impactful in the case. In other words, had they come forward, they would have been effective. Their silence effectively, right, undermines Ruvain's case. However, not on the basis of technical, formal, legal edus, but some other mechanism. For example, there are numerous of these, but later on the Gemara discusses, and the Yerushalmi even more explicitly, but the Gemara maybe alludes to it as well, the din of Kiblo Alai Krovim Upsulim. Misha says in Sanhedrin, in the third parak, that Neman Alai Abba, Neman Alai Avicha, Neman Alai Gimel Roy Bakar, that Bale Dinim have the right, you know, to be machshir, if you will. That's the question is whether that's accurate, but whether it's conceptually accurate. They have the right to say, we, you know, this dayan is pasul, but we both agree to use him. Or these edim are psulim, right? We agree to use him. Now, can they be machshir any dayan and any aid? The cases of the Gemara are much more limited. Aid echad can be, you know, taken as two edim. Krovim can be taken as ksherim. Remember that krovim are fundamentally ksherim, right? It's just the particular case that makes them psulim. In other words, you know, Reuven's brother, Levi, let's say, you know, can't testify, you know, in his case. But Levi, you know, can testify in some other case. Right. So anyways, I don't want to jump the gun with that topic, but the point is that there is something called kibolai krovim upsulim, and also numbers. So let's say you have a kibolai situation of people who are objectively excluded from Eidos, the people here, krovim, psulim, right? And but the Bale Dinim say kibolai. And then basically they bring these people to court and they say, we know that you know, and we want you to testify. And the guys, they don't want to, you know, bite. So they say, well, we impose upon you a shua, and they lie about it. Ezrachi of korban shua sa'idus in kibolai. Or, since the Mishnah says it has to be ru'uyin lahayid, is that a hard and fast statement, right, even after the requirement of effectiveness or impact has been met? That's a very important question. Possibly that's it is a discussion in the Yerushalmi. What the Yerushalmi says is debated. And, you know, there are further discussions. So that's one case. The other case is the Gemara later on Lamed Beis, discusses, you know, different types of Eidos. Let's say typical Eidos requires typical kashrus, right? Dini Mamonis, Dini Nefashos. But there are cases, Egla Rufa, Sota, Misas Habal, to name, you know, the three, you know, that that constitute this category, where we have all sorts of leniencies, right? We allow ABPA'd, hearsay, we allow psulin to be made, right? Eid Echad is effective. So in cases of Eglarufa, Misa Sabal, Sota, right, what defines Korban Shuas Eidos? That's something that the Gemara later on seems to take into consideration. Or, I'll give another example. You have an Eid Echad. Typically, an Eid Echad is Mechayev Shua Doraisa. It's one of the three Shuas HaDayanim Doraisa that we have, right? Modu B'Miktsas, Shuas HaShomrim, Shuas Eid Echad. So Eid Echad, typically, an Eid Echad Kosher is Mechayev Shua. However, we also have a halacha, well-known, that says, Mitok She'ena Yachal Lishava Mishali. There can be circumstances where the nitva, right, the defendant, right, does not have the ability to be nishba for whatever reason. And the rule is, if he owes a shua and he cannot satisfy that requirement, he cannot take it, mitok she'ena yachal lishava, because he cannot swear mishalim, he has to pay. The Gemara seems to say that under those conditions, if that's a circumstance, then there'll be a korban, shvuas eidus, not only for shnayim eidim, but even for eid echad. Even though normally he's only mechayev shua. But here, right, the circumstances are such that his impact will be nim. Now, of course, that's a little bit different than the cases that I mentioned before, eid bpaid, or eid pasul, because here you have an eid kosher, but normally an eid kosher alone is inadequate, right? And here he is adequate. I'm just trying to show that when the Mishnah says shuas edus nahegas b'nashim v'lo b'nashim brachokim v'lo b'krovim b'ksherim v'lo b'psulim b'enin nahegas ela b'ruyin l'hayid, that first component, which is ruyin l'hayid, on the one hand seems obvious, and then there's a huge discussion in numerous cases whether or not we care about the formal shame aid, kashrus aid, or what we really care about is effectiveness and impact. There are those who suggest, including the Minchas Chinuch, that maybe this question we should distinguish between the problem of Chovas HaGadah and Korban Shavuos Eidos. Again, our first topic was, you know, the obligation to come forward and to testify. Clearly, there's no obligation to come forward and testify if you're not going to be effective. But is there an obligation to come forward and testify if you will be effective, but not Betoras Eidos? So once again, if the obligation is to and for the injured party, or the would-be injured party, does it say arvus obligation, then I really shouldn't care in the end of the day whether or not the reason that I'm going to be effective and therefore I'm adversely affecting him by suppressing my test, my statement or my knowledge is because of eidos or some other mechanism. Because in the end of the day, what's important is the hefsed mamon that I'm causing with my silence. Or no, is the obligation, based on what we discussed in the first three shiurim, is the obligation to come forward an obligation as an aid? It's a civic obligation. It's an obligation to support the system. It's part of being, it's part of eidos. It's part of the fact that eidos is not merely a collection of information that works, but that the aid plays a role in the Bezdin system. I think there's a lot to say about that idea. If that's the case, then Chovas HaGadah may be limited also to Shem Eid. So the Minchas Chinuch, without discussing it exactly as I am, and certainly not in any as extensively, but the Minchas Chinuch discusses this question about Korban Shavuos Eidos and Chiyuv HaGadah, and suggests that maybe Chiyuv HaGadah depends on the impact, but Korban Shavuos Eidos, when the Pasuk says V'hu Ra Yada, you know, V'hu Eid Ra Yada, depends on the formality of Shem Eidos. Okay. So then it becomes a double question. Do you need shame aid? And when do you have shame aid in some of these unorthodox cases? The idea that ru'uyim lahoyed is a major component in Korban Shavuos Eidos is clearly established in this Mishnah. And it's also interesting to note that there is a major debate among the Rishonim about the extent to which this is also true. So let me explain what that means. Earlier, I alluded to it, and I'm not going to go into it now because we'll just get stuck there for a couple of weeks, which would be great, but I'd want to get a little further into the parak. The Sugya Daf Chaf Hamud Beis has a very interesting discussion, and that is about the relationship between Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Bitui. Meaning, Shavuos Bitui is just a false, a false oath. A person who lies under oath. It's about anything, or almost everything. I drank Coca-Cola yesterday. I didn't drink Coca-Cola yesterday, right? A Shavuos Bitui, has some limitations too, but it's basically a Shavuos Sheker, right? O Sishbu B'Shmi La Sheker, Lo Yachel Devaro, that's the din of Shavuos Bitui. So the question is, why isn't every Shavuos Eidos really a Shavuos Bitui? The Gemara asks this question in a few ways on Chaf Hamud Beis, so I'm not going to go into the details now. The Gemara wants to know, what do we need the Parsha of Shavuos at one point? What do we need the Parsha of Shavuos Eidos for? Every Shavuos Eidos is Sheker, and every Shavuos Sheker is presumably Bitui. So what would be the point? So at one point the Gemara says, well, Lavar Lebishnai. You should be Chayv two Korbanos. And then the Gemara says, well, we have limudim that establish that you're not chayiv two karbonos, you're only chayiv one. So the question is, what would be wrong with having it as bitui? Anyways, the Gemara has a whole very complex, there are about 11 different perushim in the Rishonim, I'm not exaggerating, in that sugya. They're all important, there's a huge range. What is the relationship between Shavuos Bitui and Shavuos Eidos? A parallel question, which comes up in the very, very last practically lines of the Masechta on Mem Tesamid Beis, is what is the relationship between what we call Shavuos HaPikadon and Shavuos Bitui, right? Why do you need Shavuos HaPikadon, or why, when is a failed Shavuos HaPikadon and Shavuos Bitui? In my opinion, if you examine these two questions very closely in the Gemara and in the Rambam and so on, we'll see that the parallel questions are treated differently, and that's also an important topic. But agav, let's say it this way. The Gemara's conclusion on Chaf Hei Amud Beis is that whenever the Shuas Eidus, right, at least according to Rava, whenever the Shuas Eidus, there's no Shuas Bitui. Right? Rava says, you know, Afke Rachman, I'll just read the one line, just that one line. Just for a second, because it's very important for Ru'i and Lahai. But we're not going to get into the whole thing, I promise. If you look here at the Gemara on Chaf Hei Amud Beis, right, the Gemara says as follows. It starts off in a very interesting way, but we're not going to leave it at that. Look at four lines down into the wide lines. The Gemara says, Bishlam of the Shmuel. Okay, just very quickly. Bishlam of the Shmuel, Domer Milsa, the Lesa, the Lahaba, Lo Machai, Valel, the Sha'avar. Lahachi afkarachmana lishvua sa'edus mechal shvuas bitui. According to the mandamar, that you have to be able to flip a shvuas bitui, and I'll discuss on another time, from past to present and present to past. In other words, if you make a certain statement and you lie about it, it's only the kind of lie that triggers a korban and malchus for shvuas bitui, if in theory you could have said the opposite, and also temporally the opposite. Now, does that statement in the past or that statement in the future? Well, not for us right now. So then the Gemara says, well, then there might be situations where you can't have Shuas Bitui, and therefore you need the Parsha of Shuas Eidus. Okay. El Lerav doesn't hold this way. Lemai Hilkos Afka Rachmana. Why did the Torah write a separate Parsha of Shuas Ha'edus distinct from Shuas Bitui? So the Gemara says, Amru Rabbanan Kamid Abaya Lachiyuvei Tarti. Originally, the Gemara thought to make your chayv twice. Amar lehu tarti lamatzi samrisa. You can't say your chayv twice because you're not. The Tanya laachas meela laachas atamachayv aviyat amachayv ashtayim. You're only chayv once. Fine. So then the Gemara says ulababay lemay hochasa afki rachmana. So then, what's the point of shuas eidus? If either way you'd be chayv, and Rashi points out, it looks like the same korban too. They're both korban olav yorid. They're even the same type of korban, unless let's say Shuas HaBikadon, which might be part of that story, which is a different korban. It's an Asham, not a Chatas, and so on. So the Gemara says, "Chidatanya, Bikula Namar V'Nelam, the Kan Lo Namar V'Nelam, L'Chayiv Al Meizit Keshogeg." This is one of the components of our mission that we'll get to in a moment. The Chiddush of Shuas Eidus is that in Bitui, the korban is only brought for a Shogeg. And a Meizit is Chayiv Malkus, if there's Hasra. In Shuas Eidus, right, even the mezid gets a korban. Shuas Eidus and Shuas HaBikadon, that's one of the chidushim, that even mezid gets a korban. Okay. So the Gemara says, Omer l'Rabbanan Labaya, Eima b'mezid m'chayiv chada b'shogeg m'chayiv tarti. Maybe mezid is chayiv once and still shogeg too. Omer l'hu, lav haynu d'amri la'achas, achas ata m'chayiv v'yata m'chayiv ishtayim. The Pasuk says, one and not two. V'yib mezid mi'ika tarti. Right? There aren't two in mezid. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rav Amar, a different answer why we need Shuas HaBikadon, Shuas HaEdus, we should have a Davar Shebechlal, V'yata Lidon B'davar Chadash, in the Chabo, El Chidusho Bilvad. Okay, so what does that mean? So Rashi says, in a few places, that what it means is that Shuas HaEdus has a Chidush. It's limited to Ru'uyim Lahayid, and it has to take place, as Sonny will discuss more fully in a few minutes, in Bezdin. The Kfirah has to take place in Bezdin. Look at Rashi Tarti. Imroi lahayid, the kafar bo bebezdin. Right? Because for Shuas Eidus to be chayiv, you have to be roi lahayid, like our Mishnah. And the Kfirah has to be in Bezdin. So let him be chayiv shtayim, mishum Eidus, umishum bitui. So now look at the other Rashi. When Rashi says, Rav Amar, in the first wide line of the Rashi's, Rashi says, Klomar, Lo tzarech l'me'ute mil'achas, v'chi ase l'achas l'me'ute chayiv shtayim lav l'edus l'bitui, el l'bitui l'chudei, shemam arshu shal ochal v'yochal pas chitim v'pas sorin v'pas kusmin enechayiv l'achas. Forget about that, that's not for now. Av l'edus l'bitui lo tzarech mi'uta, da'av l'edus dover shayi b'chlal, bitui, originally edus was just a sheker, right? The yotza b'fnei atzmo, lidon, B'davar HaChadosh, and then it has special dinim that don't apply to Bitui. What are those dinim? Says Rashi. Doesn't say this in the Gemara. Birui in Lahayid, u'bebezdin. Hilkach ein chabal lechidusho, hu mishum edus chaya v'lo mishum bitui. Then later on, Rashi talks about Abaye and Rava. If you go three lines, the last word on the third line from the bottom, v'naf kemina hecha de'isa lebitui v'leisa le'edus, kagom b'psulim le'edus, o shalom b'bezdin, v'leik le'mifter le'melachas milchayev mishum bitui. In a word, what Rashi says is as follows. The relationship between Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Bitui is complex. And when Shavuos Eidos exists, it crowds out, it eclipses Bitui, according to Rava, completely. According to Abaye, Abaye and Rava both agree that there's a partial of Shavuos Eidos, that you're not Chayiv Shtayim. Abaye says, you're not chayv shtayim. Whenever you're chayv shvuas edus, you're potter mishum shvuas bitui. Whenever you are potter from shvuas edus, you'll be chayv mishum shvuas bitui. That's Abaye. And Rava says, no. Since it's not la'acha satar chayv i'atam chayv shtayim, it's more fundamental. It's afke rachmana ziyata lidam b'davar achadash. That's what Rashi says, nafke mina. Therefore, even there will be cases where there's no shuas ha'edos, no chiyuv shuas ha'edos, right? But there still won't be shuas bitui. What is okay? What's the difference between Abaye and Rava? So Rashi says, nafkemina hecha de isa lebitui v'leisa le'edos kegon bipsulin le'edos o shalom bebezdin. In other words, Rashi is of the opinion that according to Rava, right, Eino Roy Lahoid is still called the Shavuos Ha'edus, even though the person can't testify and he's not Chayev. And therefore, in a case where a person testifies lies, in other words, says, we don't know any information, and they're Eino Roy Lahoid, according to Rashi, according to Rava, of course, you're not chayiv mishum shuas edus because the mission says you need ruin the hoyd. But you're also not going to be chayiv for shuas bitui. That's Rashi. The Ramban says, I agree with Rashi about chutz lebezdin, betok bezdin and chutz lebezdin, but I disagree with Rashi when it comes to ruin the hoyd. Meaning, says the Ramban, if it's einon ruin the hoyd, there's no shame shuas edus. It's not just that you're not chayev for shuas edus. There's no category of shuas edus. If a shuas edus scenario takes place and the kfira takes place outside of Bezdin, you're not chayev for shuas edus. But it's called a shuas edus, and therefore there's no shuas bitui, according to Rava, says the Ramban. However, if the party, right, who's lying, is somebody who's pasul edus, that's not even called shvuas edus. And therefore, even Rava will agree that there's a chiyuv shvuas bitui. In other words, make it clear, within the worldview of Rava, according to, there's a debate between Rashi and the Ramban, whether the scenario of shvuas edus is called shvuas edus even be'enam ru'im lahayid, right? Or Einam Ruim Lahoyed is not only not chayev for Shavuos Ha'edus, it's mufka from the chalos, shame of Shavuos Ha'edus as well. So the first component of the requirement of Shavuos Ha'edus is the requirement of Ruim Lahoyed. And as I say, you have these two complicated questions. Number one, what does it mean? Does it mean impact or shame aid? Number two, in the absence of Ruim Lahoyed, is it even considered a case of Shavuos Ha'edus, even though it's Patur, and the Nafkamina, according to Rava at least, according to the Ramban and Rashi, their debate, is whether or not you'll be Chayiv for Shavuos Bitui when you're Patur for Shavuos Ha'edus, or there's still a case of Shavuos Ha'edus which excludes Shavuos Bitui. So that's component number one in the Mishnah. Component number two is the din of Mipiachem. Typically, when it comes to Shavuos Bitui, I think we read this last week, so we're not going to read it again. But the Mishnah on Chav Tes Amud Beis, in the previous Amud, the last Amud of the third parak, says that Shavuos Bitui does not apply mipi acherim, only mipi atzmo. Meaning, a Shavuos is a haflah. And Shavuos Bitui is called Shavuos Bitui, which means that there's an articulation or an expression. And that requires that the key words of the Shavua, right, be formulated by the Nishba, by the party who's violating the Shavua. They cannot be articulated by the Mashbia, the person who's imposing the oath, on the Nishba, who just kind of responds, you know, with a couple of words, which are significant in context, you know, but not, you know, inherently as an act of Shavua. That clear? So, basically, the previous Mishnah seems to say clearly, we'll see if there's a problem, Rambam, that Shavuos Shav and Shavuos Bitu, if you look very quickly, Shavuos Bitu noheges banashim benashim chavtesan beis bekrovim berchokim bekshem bepsulim bifnei bezdin shalom bifnei bezdin mi piatzma. Right? The chayavan al zdona makos al shigasa korban olav yorei. Same thing. Shavuos Shav noheges banashim benashim berchokim bekrovim bekshem bepsulim bifnei bezdin shalom bifnei bezdin. Bipiatzmo, the chayav and alzdona makos fal shigasa, in case of shav potter. Right, then the next line of the Mishnah is achazu v'achazu amuzro l'piacherim chayev. That seems to be a stira. The Gemara says that refers to anias amen. Kala one amen achar shua kemotzi shua mipi. So what comes out of the end of the last parak is that in order to be chayev for shua sheker bitui and shav, basically you need a nishba, right, mi piatzma, which can have two forms. One is the man says, he does all the heavy lifting, he says everything. And the other is, no, he hears a full shvua, and he says ditto, amen. And that's what the Gemara means, on lamed vav amen aleph, the Gemara says, amen, bo kabbalas dvarim, bo amonas dvarim, bo shvua. Amen can have three different meanings. Bo shvua is what is referred to here, according to the Rambam, right, which we have here actually, I'll just look at it for 1 second. According to the Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, it's on page 1, line 25. Echad anishba echad miarba minei shuos elo bipiatzmo, vipurtis nishba mipiatzmo, echad amushba mipiacherim va'ana amein, or which is the equivalent of the piatzmo, he hears it and he says, amen. Afilu ishbiu akamo katan. Right? Even if it comes from somebody who's not a bar chiyuva, but he articulates the word, and you va'ana amen, ditto, chayv. Okay, that's so simple. In Hilchos Brachos, it's not true. Right? In Hilchos Brachos, if you hear a bracha from a katan or from an akum, and you say amen, right, that's nothing. That's a very interesting problem. Okay. Shekala one amen achar shvua, says the Rambam, kemotzi shvua vipiv, etc. Okay. Echad ha'ona amen, or medav rishu. In yano kamo amen, hein, mechuyavani, kibalti, etc. Okay. Very good. So the point is, the second component then, is that, you know, in every shvua, sheker, you need to have nishba mipiatzmo. However, there are two exceptions. They are shvua se'edos, and Shavuos HaPikadon. Shavuos HaEdos is mentioned here in the Mishnah, and Shavuos HaPikadon in the next parak, in the first Mishnah, in the fifth parak, we have the same idea of Shavuos HaPikadon. We'll see soon whether they're the same or not. You learn Shavuos HaPikadon Mipi Acherim, that it works, is derived from Shavuos HaEdos. Okay, so that's an interesting point. The question is, what does it mean that Shavuos HaEdos could be Mipi Acherim? I mean, Bitu and Shav can't, we understand that, because you need the articulate. The whole point of an oath is the formulation and articulation. So isn't that lacking in Eidos and Pikadon, one would think? Right? So, and in fact, the default classical case of Shavuos HaEdos is actually Mipi Acherim. Right? Nefesh Kisechata. Right? Veshama Kol Allah, v'hu edo ro yadam lo yagid v'nasav o no. So it's nefesh kisechta followed by v'shama kol Allah. What do you mean v'shama kol Allah? It should be, you know, v'hiflig or bite or v'yamar, you know, b'loshon Allah. Right? The classic case of Shavuos Eidos is Mipi Acher. And the question is, what is the significance of that? And that's what I want to talk more about today. Before I just want to get the other component in, the other two components in very quickly, but that is the question. What do we mean when we say that Mipi Acherim works in Shavuos Eidos and that it's even the classical case? Just to highlight it a little bit more, on Chof Hei Amadeus, which I'm not going to go into, but, you know, just a, not even a drive-by, right? The bottom Tosis has an interesting comment relevant to us. Right? Remember that Abaya, when he was trying to explain why do we need a Parsha of Shavuos Eidos, Chof Hei Amadeus, why do we need that Parsha? So initially Abaya said, because there's a Chiddush in Shavuos Eidos, that Mezid is Kishokik. Not even amazing to bring a carbon, correct? So Tosis asks an interesting question. Tosis says, or makes a comment, Hava motzi lemeimer l'chaivo afilo mujba mipi acherim, below ani asamein, mash enkein b'shuos bitui. Right? If you're looking for distinguishing factors, right, in addition to Mezid, there's another one, mipi acherim. So it's all just ironic, in exactly the same vein. As I say, there are many perushim given to this Gemara. It's just very fertile ground for interpretation and, you know, a huge range. So, among other things, is a Balamor in Ramban, here on Kaf Amud Beis. Balamor says what he says. He has a certain interpretation in the Shakamatari of the Gemara. And the Ramban disputes it. And the Ramban says, what? The Balamor thinks that the Gemara is just randomly looking for facts that distinguish Shavuos Eidos from Shavuos Bitui, says the Ramban. If that's all the Gemara was looking for, why don't they just mention Mipi Acherim? Right? So the Ramban essentially invokes Mipi Acherim as if it is a, I wouldn't say trivial, that sounds, you know, too peripheral, but certainly not something that is fundamental or characteristic to Shavuos Eidos. He says, what? Any difference is fine. Mention Mipi Acherim. Now Tosus says, Havamotzi Lemeimar, right? I would argue that for the Rajba, which we've seen already, and which we'll talk about a little more, the Rajba and Bava Kamma, you know, maybe if you wanted a single, you know, characteristic, you know, halacha that highlights the uniqueness of Shavuos Eidos, it's Mipi Acherim. I believe that's true for the Rambam as well. So it's just interesting how different the Ramban says, what's the big deal? Mipi Acherim, you know, is a random, it's true. I'll explain what the Ramban probably means. It's all it means is that Mashbia is Kenishba. You know, that when a person hears somebody imposing the Shavua upon him and he responds, it's like he's being Nishba. But it's not true in Bitui and Shav. We'll have to explain that to Ramban. So the point is that the second component in the Mishnah that is distinguishing about Shavuos Eidos, in addition to the factor of Ruim Lahoid, which we just talked about, is the factor of Mipi Acherim. When it comes to Mipi Acherim, it's a machlokes between Rabbeinu and the Chachamim, which I'm going to mention now, and we're going to elaborate in just a few minutes when we go back to it. And that is as follows. I'll tell you first, and I'll read it afterwards. Rabbi Meir was of the opinion, this is critical, that there's a fundamental nafgamina between Mipi Acherim and Mipi Atzmo. What's the difference? The difference is whether you need Kfira Bebezdin. That's when the person lies and denies that he knows testimony, can that be Chutz Bebezdin or Dafka Bebezdin? So the Rabbanon are of the opinion that it doesn't matter Mipi Atzmo, Mipi Acherim, the Kfira has to be in Bebezdin. Because after all, the impact part of this equation, you know, is Bezdin related. Because we need the guy to testify in court. And if he goes to court and he says that he doesn't know anything, then he can't, he disqualifies himself from testifying in the future because of Kivin Shehigid, Shuve Nechozer Umagid. You have one chance to testify. You can't retract your testimony. So everything depends on the Bezdin. It's a Bezdin rooted halacha. I mentioned before that Rashi, right, when he wanted to give two nafgamina between Rav and Abaya, a case where there's a shame, Shavuos Eidos, even when there isn't a Chiyah B'Fo'al, gave two examples. One is Einam Ru'uyim and Einam Ru'uyim Bebezdin, I mean the Hayin, and the other one is Tochen Chutz the Bezdin. I mentioned that the Ramban said you're right about the Bezdin, and you're wrong about the Ru'uyim and the Hayin. By the way, the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef said you're wrong about the Bezdin. Just to complete the picture. The Nebuchadnezzar Yosef says, if it's Chutz the Bezdin, that's not Shavuos Eidos. It's not just a Ptur, it's just not Shavuos Eidos. Or maybe it's probably what he meant. Anyways, the point is that the Chachamim are the opinion that Tocha Bezdin is required for Shavuos Eidos no matter what. Rabbi Meir, however, said the following. Mi Piatzmo could take place Chutz the Bezdin. Mi Piacherim requires Bezdin. Look at the language of the Mishnah. Bifnei Bezdin v'shalo bifnei Bezdin mi Piatzmo. Okay, it's a bit written in an interesting way. Whether in front or outside of Bezdin, you'll be chayav for Shavuos Eidos mi piatzmo. Mi piacherim in chayav and ad shiichru ben bebezdin. Mi piacherim requires Bezdin, div Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim, be mi piatzmo, be mi piacherim, in an chayav and ad shiichru ben bebezdin. But we're going to elaborate this argument in a few minutes. But it comes out that there's a major debate. We paskin like the Chachamim. What we're going to try to examine is, if you paskin like the Chachamim, are there any echoes of Rabbi Meir? Meaning, according to the Chachamim, that both Mi Piatzmo and Mi Piacherim require Toch Bezdin, does that mean that there are no differences between Mi Piatzmo and Piacherim, and that Mi Piacherim is a kind of a detail? Or, just not this Nafgamina, because of the centrality of the requirement of Bezdin in Kfira, but doesn't mean that Rabbi Meir isn't right, that there are huge differences between the Piatzmo and Piacherim. Why should there be different? I mean, our mayor is assuming that there is such a big difference. Well, the easy way to explain it would be to explain that there are two aspects of Shavuos Eidos, and maybe two different types of Shavuos Eidos. Meaning, when it's Mipiatzmo, it's more like a Shavuos Bitui, because after all, you're articulating the Shavua. And since we evaluate it more in terms of the Shavua itself, right, then the impact question is a little less significant. You still require a situation where you're ruling Mahayid, where your testimony would make a difference, but lav dafka, that the kfira has to take place in Bezdin. If it's a kfira that takes place chutz of Bezdin in a manner where your presence in Bezdin would be impactful, that's enough. Because in the end of the day, right, the hafla, the bitui part of the Shavuos Eidos is intact. But if we're talking about Mipiacherim, which is a challenged Shavua, because he's not really articulating the main points, he's responding, right, or connecting to, but isn't actually formulating the Shavuos Sheker, so maybe then you need to build up what I'm calling the Choshemish. That's when you have a weaker Haflah part, you may have to build up the Chol Shemishpat part. Namely, the Kfira has to be in the Bezdin. That would be the idea. So if we were to paskin like Rabbi Meir, it would be pretty clear that Mipiacherim is a very big deal, and that the difference between Mipiacherim and Mipiatzim and Shavuos Eidos is a major halacha, major factor in this din. So once we paskin like the Chachamim, we have to work harder to find out whether the Yesod of Rabbi Meir is still correct, even if this particular application is not. And that's what we're going to do in the next couple of minutes before we just finish the Mishnah. So that is component. We have the component of Ruim Lahayid, we have the component of Mipiacherim and Mipiatzmo, and we have the third component, which is Chutz and Bifnei Bezdin. In addition to that, we have something else in the Mishnah. Guess what? The Chayavin Al Hazodon Al Zodon Hashua Bal Shigasa Zodon Haedus Ein Chayav Al Shigasa Main Chayavin Al Zodon Hashua Korban Olavi Yored. The fourth component in the Mishnah is that Shuas Eidos, also Shuas Apikadon, we say Mezid is Keshogeg, something which is very rare in the world of Korbanos. And just remember that on that Mishnah that we didn't, on that sugya that we didn't study in depth on Chafei Amud Beis, right, when Abaya was looking for what does characterize Shavuos Eidos, what did he quote? Mezid Keshogeg. It's fascinating. The Gemara there quoted it for Abaya. For Rabbah, they didn't mention Mezid Keshogeg. But if you look at Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Rimigash, and the Rambam and Hilchos Shavuos, all of them cite Mezid Keshogeg, even within Rabbah. And they seem to argue, is Mezid Keshogeg in Shavuos Eidos a Kula or a Chumra? Ah, an interesting question. Well, it seems like Mezid Keshogeg, even you have to bring a carbon to Mezid, it sounds like a Chumra. But what's the alternative? Ah, so in Shavuos Bitui, it's Malkus, which of course is harsher. What? So, what's fascinating, Tosus on Mem Teso and Beis, if you look at Tosus Mem Teso and Beis, I mentioned it about Shavuos HaPikadon and Shavuos Bitui, the last Tosus in the Masechta. Finish the Masechta. Hadron. Chayob, we finished last week, we finished the third parak. This week we're finishing the Masechta. The Chayob Mishum Shavuos Bitui. Tema. Name of the Yatzalida, Medaber Chadosh, and the Chabala Chidusha, Kidarmina, and the Perak Gimel, Gabi Shavuos Eidos. The Gemara that we just read talks about the relationship of Shavuos Eidos and Bitui. Why aren't they two overlapping? Why not the Tosas asking, why don't we have the same din and why don't we have the same conversation about Shavuos HaPikado? Okay, we'll get back to that. The Nirali Dilodami, says Tosas. The Hasam Lola Hakel, Yatzal Hakel, Hilkach Havachidish. In Shavuos Eidos, it's a Kiddush because it's a Kula. What's a Kula? He doesn't say. So is it the fact that it's only Beruim L'Hayid? The fact that it's only Bifnei Bezdin? Those are Kulas. Or is it what the Gemara quotes for Abaya, Mezid Keshogeg, that's a Kula? Because otherwise you should be getting Malkus. Oh, it's fascinating. The Tosefta, in the beginning of Perek Dalid of Shavuos, quotes it as a Chumra. One second. And I believe that the Rach and the Rambam, when they quoted for Rabbah, also meant it as a Chumra. If you look at the Tosefta for a minute, it'll be in the back of the Gemara. Again, the new Gemaras, I don't know where they put it. One second. Oh, here it is, okay. So in Perek Dalid, Tosefta Aleph, Chomer b'shuas ha'edos she'en b'shuas ha'pikadon, Chomer b'shuas ha'pikadon she'en b'shuas ha'edos. Fine. Then comes, after that, you have Chomer b'shuas edus. Chomer b'shuas edus ein shuas bitui b'shuas bitui she'ein b'shuas edus. Shuas edus noheges b'dvar mitzvah b'chayavin al zdona korban. Ma'she'ein kein b'shuas bitui. Shuas bitui noheges b'dvar she'esh b'mamish or b'dvar she'ein b'mamish b'chayavin al zdona makos ma'she'ein kein b'shuas edus. The Gemara has, quotes the Mezid factor for both. It says that Mezid is a chum. The fact that Mezid brings a korban is a chumra in Shavuos Eidos over Shavuos Bitui. The fact that Mezid in Shavuos Bitui gets Malkus is a chumra of Shavuos Bitui over Shavuos Eidos. That's very strange because on the surface, it's one or the other, right? I mean, it's not like there's one halacha, like there are two possible chiyuvim out there. One is karban, or maybe it is, and the other is malchus. And regabe karban, we're machmir in edus, and regabe malchus, we're machmir in bitui. Simple pshat is, there's something called mezid b'shuas bitui, and mezid b'shuas edus, and in both cases are two candidates, korban or malchus. And the Torah went one way with one and one with the other. Now the question is, which is the Chomer and which is the Ka? And the Pashtus is like what Tosas says, if that's what Tosas meant. Namely that the Mezid, right, is the Korban is a Ka. So how can it be a Chomer? And how can the Gemara use it? The the Rach, and so on. But I think that the answer is, per se, Mezid having a korban and not Malkus is a kula. But the reason that Mezid is Keshogeg in Shvuas HaEdus is because the Shogeg of Shvuas HaEdus is Kemezid. If everybody's following me, I hope. Meaning, in a typical Shvua, right, there's a huge difference because there's nothing at stake, essentially. So Shogeg and Mezid are like day and night. In one case, you happen to make a false statement that you don't know about. And in the other case, right, you are intentionally being mezalzel b'shem Hashem. And therefore, in one case, you bring a karban for your error. And in the other case, you are you're chayiv, you know, in a very chomer way, malchus for zilzel shem Hashem. However, in Shvus Eidos, because the Choshem Mishpat part plays such an important role, namely, it's Kvishas Eidos Ayidei Shvuas Sheker, in the end of the day, as long as you're not an Onus, the Shogeg is basically the same as the Mezid, because when it comes to causing loss, there is no category of Shogeg. There's a category of Onus and there's a category of Mezid, essentially. Adam Muad Liolam. So maybe the idea is that, you know, on the one hand, it could be worse. There's no zilzul shem Hashem in the same way. That's a kula. But in terms of the category of Shuas Eidos, and what makes it different from Shuas Bitui, namely, the obligation to come forward, the suppression and the impact that suppression has on the other party, that is reflected by Mezid Keshogeg. Not because the Mezid brings a korban and not Malkus, but because the Mezid's korban is something that reflects Shogeg and its korban. Okay. These are the components of the mission.
Does Mezid presuppose the tshuva?
I'm sorry?
How do you bring a korban on Mezid without doing tshuva?
Okay. A good question. But that's the halacha of, let me say it this way. You can't bring a korban until you do tshuva. But the mezid that we're talking about here isn't at the moment of the havasa karban; it's at the moment of the ma'isa avera.
But he didn't do tshuva.
Why didn't he do tshuva?
I don't know. Did he or did he not?
He did. Why do you think he did it?
So you're suggesting that he did do tshuva?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, what?
How do you know?
Tshuva's required for tshuva's required for.
Short mechayev a korban for him.
I'm saying, but tshuva's required. You know, for many onshim that are mechaper for mezid.
For korban, we don't find.
No, forget about korban. Whenever you acquire tshuva, there's an assumption of korban. Whenever you bring a korban, there's an assumption of tshuva.
Okay.
So why is that a problem?
Because korbanos are normally bought for shogeg, not
right.
For mezid.
Okay. Right.
So, but there's no proof that they're doing mezid.
Zevach Roshoyim Toeva. Zevach Roshoyim Toeva. So before you bring a korban, the assumption has to be that you are remorseful and that you did tshuva. And that's the case here as well. It's the case that in any case there's an onesh which requires tshuva. Right? Yeah.
I'd just like to clarify again what is Bipiaterim, since if he said Amen, that would be
Bipiatzma.
That would be Bipiatzma. So what exactly is Bipiatzma?
The person says, I'm Mashbia Aleichem. Let's assume for a moment, let's be easier, we're going to see this in a minute anyway. Let's assume for the moment that, according to the Rambam, that a Shvua requires a Shem Hashem. Okay? So let's say the Mashbia, and let's say that's the essence of it. That's not true for everybody, because a lot of people think it's not true. So then it would be the language of Shvua, the certain of the words. Like, let's just take it easier, just to give you a vivid picture. Right? So let's say the Mashbia said, Hinani Mashbia Eschem, you know, B'Shem Hashem, you know, there's Shelo Atem Lo, Ein Atem Yodim Eidos. And they say, Ein Anu Yodim. Okay? Good? Meaning they haven't, their words alone don't include the Shem Hashem. Right? So if it's Amen, it's Ditto. So it's like they said the Shem Hashem. They say, Yodim. They answer him. They respond to him. But responding to him is not, does not mean that his words are you know, are attributed to the Nishba. Okay. That would be the idea.
How we don't do it according to the Rambam?
Whatever it is that defines the Shavua. Is it the word Shavua, maybe? Allah? Kinuye Shavua Kishavua. We'll see in a second. Whatever it is, or whether it's keywords, or it's a certain amount of, or the certain level of the tochen, right? The question is, who has to say that part of it? That's the issue. I mean, you'll see cases in a minute, but that I'm just trying to make, streamline it a little bit. Yeah.
How do we define mushba and piyachem b'ashos b'tui?
We'll get to it.
What interest?
Good. If you want a case, and it, I mean, the Rambam has one case, which, according to some of the Nosa Kalim, is a case of Shvua Spituim Ipiacherim, that you're chayiv. It's a case where, here, it's Parakei, you can look at it while we're doing other things. It's not like you're, you know, you're checking your email or anything, you know? So, it just coincidentally, I happen to have it on the page. Parakei, Halacha Dalin, on the last page. It's a case where the guy imposes, if it's true, if that's what the Rama means, it's a big discussion. It's a case where the Reuven says to Shimon, right, I swear, you know, that you will not, you cannot come into my property. Right? Vamedvar mamurim kishenishba aldavar shenu brishusa. Don't shenishba Reuven al Shimon shalo yelech b'skora Reuven takes a shvur and says, I hereby declare under or, you know, b'shem Hashem, that you will not come into my home. B'sheloyena minachasam. V'avar Shimon v'nichnas l'beiso shal Reuven, v'nena minachasam, shalom midas Reuven, Reuven patur, sharehu anus, strange formulation, v'shimon chayiv sh'avar al davar ha'asr l'alasoso, this is a strange Rambam, and it's a problematic Rambam. One second, and it's interpreted differently by different Mefarshim. Some say, "Oh, we're talking about Amen." Some say, "We're not." It's Lefnevor Lesitei Mechsha. But there is a group. Reb Chaim understood earlier. The Kesef Mishnah kind of understood that this is a case. This is the one case of Shuas between Mipiacherim, which is Chaim. You have to explain how does that, why is it an exception to the Mishnah on Chavtes of Beis, which says
it's a neder, isn't it?
It's not a neder.
Somebody's
the tour asks. The tour asks. Tour says, I don't know. The tour quotes his case. Yeah. We'll talk about it soon. The tour quotes his case and he says, I don't understand. What is this, a neder? Was this mudra? No, but it's not. It's a kashua. It's a shua. If it was a neder, you could say he imposed an isra cheftz on the guy. He said, you can, you're off limits from my property. My property is off limits to you. Sorry. I can impose that status on my property, even vis-a-vis others, not just vis-a-vis myself. That's called mudra. No. There's something called a neder. And there's something being madir on someone else where they are mudar hana, right? So the Torah says, if this were a neder, I'd be fine with it, but this is Hilchos Shvuos, not Hilchos Nedarim. It's a Shvuah case. Shvuos are Yisr Gavra. I don't understand what this means. That's what the Torah says. He doesn't like it. He rejects it. The Kesef Mishnah, kind of, Reb Chaim with gusto, says this is a case of Mipiacherim. But there's no Mipiacherim in Shvuos between Shvuah Shav. There is, if there's bialus, if it's his domain. I'll explain what I mean. That means soon. Okay. All right. That's okay. That's the case that would AK. There might be a few more cases based on the sugya and chafei that we're not elaborating. There might be more cases. Meaning, there could be cases of shuas edus where you're not chai for shuas edus, and therefore they turn into bitui, and then you would wonder what would happen to the mipiacherim part of that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Especially for the Rama, but we'll get to that. Okay. So now, let's go back now. This is the Mishnah. All we did is the Mishnah. Okay. It's a very packed Mishnah, right? What I tried to establish is there are four things in this Mishnah. Ruyin Lahayid, Tok Bezdin, the distinction of Mipi Acherim and Mipi Atmo, especially the status of Mipi Acherim, and Mezik Ashoke. And that all of these four, as rooted in the Sugya earlier, but not just that, all of these four components are singular to Shuas Eidos, and the question is whether they're part of the unique Mechayev of Shuas Eidos. Okay. So let's talk about the Mishnah, Rabeir, the Chachamim, and the idea of Mipi Acherim and Mipi Atzma. Okay? So the Pashtos, you would think, based on the Mishnah, that this is Guf of the Machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim. And the Gemara later on has a whole discussion, like, where does this come from? If you look here on Lamed Aleph, very quickly, I'm not going to read the whole Gemara, but we'll just the beginning of it. Bifnei Bezdin, Shalom, Bifnei Bezdin, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. You see the two dots? The Gemara says, "B'mai kamiflagi." What are Meir and the Chacham arguing about? Amru Rabbanan kamed Rab Papa, bedun mina umina, bedun mina veuki biatra kamiflagi. The question is this: you learn halacha. If halacha X, right, appears in context A, right, and it's very singular to it. Right, and then it gets farmed out, halacha X applies also, is given also through a limud to halacha, to context B, right? So to what extent, but A and B have some differences between them, right? So when you export, you know, this halacha to another context, how much does it bring from its origin, and how much does it melt into its environment? Right? It's all about immigration. Right? I mean, that's the question. The question of don mino, bukabatra, is an immigration question. It's a melting pot question, essentially. Right? So the Gemara says that's the issue, meaning, don mino, bukabatra, ramer savar don mino, Umina, right? Mi pikadon, ma pikadon, mujmim piatzmo chayev, af edus, mujmim piatzo chayev. This one piatzmo is derived from shuas hapikadon, right? Umina, ma pikadon, bein bebezin, bein shalom bebezdin, af edus, bein bebezin, bein shalom bebezdin. If shuas haedus, mi piatzmo, because again, the classic case is v'shama kalala. Right? So if Mipiatmo is learned from Shuas HaPikadon, and in Shuas HaPikadon we don't care about Bezdin one way or another, because it's about Gezel. You can be a thief outside of Bezdin, but you can't testify outside of Bezdin. Right? So, what, the Torah is standing on ceremony here? What is this? We derive Mipiatmo in Edus from Pikadon, and therefore, you know, it drags everything of Pikadon with it, even if it doesn't make sense in its new context? That's hard to understand. Of course, if we explain that what it means is Shvuas HaPikadon, right, is more about the Shvua, maybe. And therefore, that's what we're deriving from Shvuas HaPikadon, that there are two types of Shvuas Eidos. There's a Shvuas HaPikadon kind of Shvuas Eidos, and a purest Shvuas Eidos kind of Shvuas Eidos, right? And the Rabbanan, Sabri, Dun Mina, Buki Biatra, Ma Pikadon, Mizrum Piatz Mochayev, Af Eidos, Mizrum Piatz Mochayev. Uki biatra ma mujrim piacherim bebezdin in shalom bebezin lo af mujrim piatzmo bebezin in shalom bebezin lo. And the Gemara continues the Shaka Vataria. Fine. Technically, you could say, oh, there's no conceptual argument here. It's just a machlokas about dun mino mino dun mino biuka biatra. Namely, if you have a limud from another place, right? How much do you drag from the origins of this new din, and how much, you know, gets neutralized by the framework, you know, which absorbs it. Again, an immigration issue. But of course, what I said before is more correct. And that is, it is a limud issue, but it's not really a limud issue. This limud issue is, camouflaged as a conceptual question. Namely, what does it mean when we derive a certain halacha that is singular, right, to its context, and we apply it to another context. right? So the real question seems to be about the relationship between Bipiatsu and Piacherim generally, and the relationship between Chuas Edus and Chuas Apikadon to each other. So, having said that, it sounds like one could have thought, in the end of the day, if you want to be extreme about it, that this is a very fundamental argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim about the nature of Bipiatsu. Are there two or one din in Shuas Aedas? Right? Is there like a natural Shuas Aedas Halacha and an immigrant Shuas Apikadon Shuas Aedas Halacha? Right? Are there two dinim or one Halacha? In which case, it should affect many other things too. So we paskin like the Chachamim. The question is, does that eliminate all distinctions between the Piacherim and Piatzmo, substantive ones, Mechayev ones, certainly, in Shuas Edus or not? Oh. So, what I'd like to show is that that is a huge makhluk, as we showed. We already had the Rajba. I'll just remind everybody again, very quickly. The Rajba and Bava Kama. If you remember, the Rajba and Bava Kama was bothered by the problem of Ol Rishonim, which is, how do you know there's a Chiyuv HaGadah Seidus without a Korban, without a Shvuah, without a lie? Without a Shavua lie, how do you know somebody's obligated to come forward? Right? After all, the Pasuk that you're quoting is a Pasuk of Korban Shavua Sa'edus, and that's a case where there's Shavua Sheker. So just because you're obligated, just because you are punished for Shavua Sheker in Shavua Sa'edus, doesn't mean that without Shavua Sheker there's an obligation. Right? And everybody gives very creative answers. The Shiltos, the Malitosos, right? Everybody gives a good answer. The Rajba maybe gives the most fascinating answer. The Rajba basically says, you're right, the Pasuk is talking only about Korban Shavuos Eidos. However, it's talking about Korban Shavuos Eidos on the classic cases of Piacherim. And says the Rajba, here's, just contrast it with the Ramban and Mochamos that I mentioned before, who said, Piacherim, it's a detail. You know, maybe if you paskin like the Chachamim, and if you think that there are no echoes of Rav Meir, it's a detail. Maybe. The Rajba doesn't think it's a detail. The Rajba said, Bipi Acher works in Shuas Eidos. What that teaches is that the Haflah side is not the key ingredient. Because if Haflah side was a key ingredient, then you didn't have to have Bipi Atzmo. And you don't. Like, where's the Bitui? Where's the Haflah? What does it show? That there must be some sort of Choshem Mishpat foundation here that's propping up the whole din. What is that Choshem Mishpat foundation? The Chiyuv HaGadah. So the Pasuk is talking only about Korban Shvuah Sa'edus with a lie, with a sheker. But by virtue of that din Torah, we know that there is something called a Chiyuv HaGadah. Why am I telling you that now? It's a terrific Rajba. It's always worth repeating. Because the Rajba is basically telling you that Mipiacherim and Shuas Eidos is not Kenishba. Right? That Mipiacherim and Shuas what, the Rajba paskins like Rav Meir? He doesn't address it. The answer is no, he paskins like the Chachamim. Because for whatever, when it comes to this particular, maybe the centrality of Kfira Bebez, the need for Kfira Bebez may be, something that is singular to all Dinam of Shuas Aedus, no matter what. Imports, exports, it doesn't make a difference. Right? But just because we pass like a Chum doesn't necessarily mean we've obliterated or we've downgraded the importance of the Chiddush of Shuas Aedus, Mipiacherim. Unlike the Ramban in Mochamos. So having said that, let's look now at a very famous echo of this. The first entry we have here. So again, a little bit of background. Probably have to do this next week also. The little background is a little bit that I alluded to in answering your question about, technical question of what's Mipiacherim. Do you need Shem Hashem in a Shavuah? Right? So this is a massive debate. There are numerous shitas. The Rambam's view is that Shem Hashem is a requirement in a Shavuah. Look at the Rambam here, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. This is line 25. Echad anishba echad miarba mine shvu oselu mipiatzmo. Echad amuzra in piacherim ba'ana amein. Oh, no, sorry, the wrong one. I take it back. No, I'm sorry. Halacha Beis. Yeah, line 30. Echad anishba usheshbio echad b'shem amiyuchad o b'echad min hakinuyim. Kegon shenishba b'mi sheshmo chanun, b'mi sheshmo rachum, b'mi sheshmo arachapayim. The Mishnah, Shein lecha b'yadi klum, v'yeshlo, Sheni yodeh lecha edos v'yodeya. I mean, all the different types of shua. Basically, the Rambam says every single kind of shua requires a Shem Hashem. The Ravid, we'll get back to this. Or Shem Rekinun. The Ravid disagrees. Ravid says, amazing Ravid. Omer Avram lo nischaver etzli davar zeh. I don't think it's correct. Shelo matzasi Shem in Hashem osel kinuim in hakinuim b'shua's bitui. That's already fascinating. Basically, the Ravid says there's a difference between Shuas HaPikadon, Shuas HaEdos on the one hand, and Shuas Shav and Shuas Bitui on the other. In a very counterintuitive, but not illogical way. Meaning, I would have thought that if you need, meaning if I just was had my druthers, I would have thought if you need Shem Hashem, you would need it for the Sheker, not for the Chosha Mishpat one. So, and therefore you would need it for Bitui and for Shav, and not for Edus and Pikadon. But the Ravid is saying the opposite. The evidence in the Gemara is the opposite. So apparently it's a compensation thing. Meaning, the Bitui and the Shav are Haflos and Sheker just by virtue of what they are. Right? And the Shus and Pikadon and Edus, because they're a distraction, or because they have a strong Chosha Mishpat element, the only way to make them also a shvua, right, is Shem Hashem. Yeah.
You're also part of the system which may benefit. That may be why.
Maybe. Well, not Pikada, though. Only Edos. Edos. Yeah, but he's saying Shvus Edos and Pikada. I hear. The Fishanemar be Edos, all of a call. Yofinan all of it's derived from there. All of Misota, Pikadon, Techta, Techamie. Listen to this. Ava Shvus Bitu, Yafinu Mevate. Isar Shvua Mamar Mevati Lochal Chen Isar Afav Bishom Lo Shem Velo Kinoi Kim Lo Shem Shvua Afav Bishol Hiskir Shvua Chen Lav Lav Hein Miskavin Lo Lav Hein Shomer Begamar Bore Shvua Chen Yeminu Small Miskavin Yeminu Small Abore Shvua He. Then he adds Vahani Mil Lekarban Vchen Yamin Lebal Yachel. For the Lav Lebal Yachel Lekarban, you don't need Shem Hashem. Aval the Malkus Bin An Shem Dechsev. So the Ravid is fascinating about two levels, on two points. Number one, he distinguishes between Shav versus Pikadon and Edus. Secondly, he distinguishes between Korban and Lav, right, which don't require, as opposed to Malkus, which obviously about Zilzul Shem Hashem. There's a Ravid in Hasagas al-Arif that also seems to say that the Mechayev in Zilzul Shem Hashem when you have Shem Hashem. Anyways, that's the Ravid. The Ran and the Ramban, as we'll see in a moment, went further. They think, Lahalacha, Shuas Edus, Shuas Kadin, also don't require Shem Hashem. Nothing requires Shem Hashem. What they do with the Gemara in later on in the end of Shuas Edus, they discuss. It's only Rab Chanina, we don't pask in that way. We don't need Shem Hashem. Rabbeinu Tam had it came up with a different compromise. Not the Ravid's compromise, the difference between Korban and Malkus, Korban and Lav and Malkus, or Edus Pikadon versus Bitui and Shav. A different compromise. Listen to this. Mipi Acherim, Mipi Atzma. And again, it's a little counterintuitive. In the same way the Ravid was a little counterintuitive. Meaning, the Rabbeinu Tam says, Mipi Acherim requires Shem Hashem, V'shama Kol Allah. Mipi Atzmo does not. The same explanation. Meaning, you don't really have an articulated Shvua, so you need the Shem Hashem. Okay. Where does he say that? So look here at the Ran, the top Ran. Klomar. The Mishnah says in the beginning of the Darim.
Page one.
Line two. Or line one and two. Whatever. This is the Ran and the Darim, da Beis Amdalas. The Mishnah says in the Darim, Kinuye and the Darim are in the Kinadarim, Kinuye Shvuos are Keshua, meaning the Darim and Shvuos, you don't have to say the word Neder and Shvuos, they're also like nicknames, other names that work as well. So, Shvuos, Keshuos, Klomar, Kinu Shvuos, Hareu Keshua, V'chayla, V'mehosha Minan, says the Ran, D'Shvuos Lavoi Shem. Shvuos doesn't need Shem Hashem. Ela Kivan Sh'amar Shvuos, O Shvusa, Shi Kinuya, Sh'la'ocha Kikur Zeh, Aser La'ocha. So the Mishnah is talking about, he doesn't say Shem Hashem, just the language of Shvua. That's what makes a Shvua. Okay? The E, Kishi Hiskars Hashem, my Yerim Shum Kinu Shvua, Tepe Klaim Shum Askaris Hashem. I feel below Shvua, below Kinu Yav Shvua. If he uses Shem Hashem, what does he have to say? The word Shvua. Maharaya, Midarmin Perke, Mamidim, Ole Kay Sholom Agilna, Kedisa Sam, the Kamanami, Bemechilton, it says, Mari Kula Lo Taimna, doesn't say Shem Hashem. Ba'od l'man damar kinuyim lashon shabadu heim. Ba'achi tiknu kinuyim b'shua kehecha glolomar shvua l'Hashem. You don't want to say Shem Hashem. Kinu b'chil gemar alma kol she'izkir shvua kinuyah. Afilu b'laskar s'Hashem ahani. Ve'ike lak shuye. Midam rina m'perek shvua sa'edus. Later on, the gemar shvua in this perek says that shvua sa'edus by Shem. Kinafin hasam. Allah, Allah, misota. Tiretz rabbeinu tam. This is line 9. Okay? Listen to this. When do you need Shem Hashem? Mujba mi pi acherim.
But she says amen.
Ah, good question. That's the Ran's question. You'll see in 1 second. Aba mujba mi pi atzmo lo biinon Shem Hashem. Then the Ran adds v'tamani yalav. I'm shocked that Rabbeinu Tam could have said such a thing. Meaning that Amen is Mipi Atzmo, right? As you correctly added, Darmin Diksiv Amra Isha Amen Amen. Klomar the Hava Kimujbas Mipi Atzmo Kamosha Pirashi Shama Perikrusados. The Lo Afil Bishwa Mipi Akerim Lo Hava. Right? And then he goes on and he, continues to develop this idea, and then he explains that even the Gemars and Shuas are machlokas, we don't pask in that way, and so on.
The difference, though, by Sota is involuntary. By Shuas being to himself, and somebody says, Amen.
What do you mean it's voluntary? It is?
She doesn't want to take the Shua altogether.
Oh, involuntary.
She'd rather say
even better. Say even better. It's good what you're saying, but I'll say that. So the Nitziv has a very famous, the Nitziv in his parish on the Shiltos, says the answer to Rabbeinu Tam's question is as follows. If she... The answer for Rabbeinu Tam, meaning to the Ran's question, is as follows. He says, let's say she came to Beis Din, and she made a shvua mi piatzmo. Would that work in the context of sota?
No.
It's a very particular protocol, right? It's vishbia kohen. So it's true that she says amen, but amen is kemotzi shvua mi piv. When she can be motzi shvua mi piv, right? But when she has to respond to the kohen. So basically what the Nitziv says is there are two dinim going on at the same time in Sota. On the one hand, it's Amen, so she's Nishra and Piatzma. But she's also got to be responding, it's also got to be Mipiacherim, because Vishbia Kohen. So the Chalos of Vishbia Kohen, Viharaya, if she herself came to court, and he wasn't Majbia, and she just said, Hinani Nishba, it wouldn't work. So he says it's a case... There's a chalos both here.
Maybe there's a situation where Amen is ain't a kamotzi shvua mipiv.
No, the problem with that is that the Gemara on Chavtesod Beis, which derives Kemotzi Shul Mipiv, derives it from Sota. That's the problem. No, I'm saying, otherwise you're right, you could have said that. But here on Chavtesod Beis, they're quoting, so you have to somehow have your cake and eat it too. Meaning, you have to, and I think it's brilliant. I think it's the right answer. Meaning, because you can't say it's not Mipiyatzma because that's the Gemara. And the Gemara, again, with Lamed Vav Med Aleph, and the Gemara says, Amen, Bo Shvua, Bo Manastron, Bo Kabbalastron. It says, Bo Shvua, it also quotes Sota. Same Gemara is here. The answer is, it's both. When she says, Amen, Amen, it's both Mipiyatzma and Mipiyacherim. But the Shvua, but then you have to add something. I'm not sure if the Netziv adds this or not, but it's implicit. And that is, when you have Mipiyatzma, there's no need for Shem Hashem. Or that Mipiacherim requires Shem Hashem. In other words, if you have both, let's say you have Mipiatzmo and Mipiatzmo Mipiacherim hyphenated. Because Zishbia Kohen, right? And the Amen Amen. So the Amen is Mipiatzmo. But it's not a Mipiatzmo that would work. It has to be a response to the Mipiacherim. So you have Mipiatzmo and Mipiacherim. The Mipiatzmo shouldn't require Shem Hashem. So is it that the Mipiacherim, but the Mipiacherim does? Right? So is it that there's no Mipiatzmo, therefore you need Shem Hashem, or it's because it's Mipiacherim that you require Shem Hashem? In order for this answer to work, you'd have to say it's a din of Mipiacherim. Yeah?
Did the Rambam derive Shamayat Onan from Sota?
No. Well, Shomei Kohen is a good example. But again, Shomei Kohen is not Amen Kemotzi Shvua Mipiv. For example, Shomei Kohen for a non-bar chiyuva wouldn't work. If you're Shomei Kohen from somebody, the person who's speaking, who you're hearing, is not a bar chiyuva,
right.
It doesn't work. Just like Amen doesn't work in Ofas Brachos from non-bar chiyuva.
There's another element of Shem Hashem by itself, too.
Okay, I have to stop in one more minute, but what's really happening here in this Rabbeinu Tam? So again, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran, and now I brought in the Netziv. That's all very well and good. We need to understand what Rabbeinu Tam meant, how Sota fits in. These are all very illuminating points. But when you take a step back, there's something else going on here. And that is, Mehechetesi, how did Rabbeinu Tam know that you can make a distinction between Piyatzo and Piyacherim in any substantive way? Isn't that dependent on the Machlokas or Meir and the Chachamim? Right? The answer is apparently not. I mean, others might think so, but not Rabbeinu Tam. So the interesting thing is, in this, Rabbeinu Tam is not alone. Of all people, the Rambam also holds this way. But in a slightly, in a very nuanced adaptation of Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Ad kedei kach, that the Ravid accused the Rambam of passing like Rav Meir. Pretty much twice. This I'll give it to you and I'll just tell you what it is and then we'll elaborate it next time. I'll show you how it fits in. But the Rambam in Perek, Shuas Eda starts in Perek Tes, by the way. Talk about that too. Why Perek Tes? He's flipped the order from Shuas Abakar. But in Perek Tes, Halach Aleph and Beis, the Rambam, if you read it very, very, very carefully, seems to make a distinction between Shuas Ha'edus Mipiatzmo and Mipiacherim with regard to the following point. And this is what the Ravid kind of missed a little bit. Everybody meets, and we pass him like the Chachamim. Right, so bein mipiacherim, even mipiatzmo requires bezdin. What does it require of bezdin? Kfira bezdin. What about the shvua? So the Gemara seems to say, if the kfira is bezdin, the shvua can be outside of bezdin. That's what the Gemara seems to say. However, the Rambam earlier, the Rimigash, which is not so surprising, has a different variation, not exactly like the Rambam, something similar. The Rambam came to the following conclusion in reading the Gemara very carefully, and then you have to read the Rambam very carefully, and that is, Mipi Atzmo, we don't care where the Shvua is, as long as the kfira is in Beis Din. But mipi acherim, not only does the kfira have to be in Beis Din, the shvua also has to be in Beis Din. It explains some of the lashonos of the Gemara that bothered Bali Tosis and so on. Lechem Mishnah points out that it explains the Tosis's question, linguistic questions, on Lamed Aleph from the base. So look at, if you look carefully, this is embedded in the Rambam, Perek Tes Halach Aleph and Beis. We're not going to look at that now. I just want to highlight, because I have to stop, in Perek Tes Halach Yud, and in Perek Yud, Halacha... What do I have here?
There's
a
page to the bottom.
Perek Tes Halacha Yud, and what else I have? Oh, Perek Yud Halacha Tezayin. I think, or Yud Zayin. Is it Yud Zayin? Yeah, Yud Zayin. Okay. The Ravid in both places accuses the Rambam. Look at this, look at the one in Perek Tes, very quickly, and then we'll stop here. Tessiyun, Ram says, V'cheinam amal le'edim, bo v'hidali sheyeshli mana biad ploni. A man said, he turns to the witness and says, come, testify that, you know, that money is owed to me. V'achakach amad v'beis haknesetz v'yishbiya. He went to the shul. He clapped the bima. He imposed this shavua. Kol mi sheyodeh le'edus yava v'yayid. V'lo bo v'lo idu. And the ones who he'd identified earlier, he designated, they lied about it, as they refused to come forward. Shari Tavon Tchir, he already asked them. Assuming there's a Beis Din in the Beis HaKnesses, right, so the Kfira is there, and the Shua is there. Avalim lohay bifnei Beis Din, imanu amein, chayavin b'shua sa'edus kashik v'u beidusan b'Beis Din. A lot of words here. They're very verbose. Vim lohanu amein, inan chayavin. Ram basically says, if they say Amen, as long as the kfir of a bezin later, there'll be a chiyuv, even if the Amen takes place outside of bezin. But if it's in piacherim and there's no Amen, then even if they're kofir bezin later, since the shvua was outside of bezin, there's no shvua seidus. Chiddush of the Ram. Says the Ravid, Amar Avram, Hamachaber Azeh, Shona Mishnah Sokir Rabbi Meir. Isn't that a Mishnah, Rav Meir and Chachamim? Whether Beis Din factor depends on Mipiatzo and Piacher? I'm, if you notice, generalizing it much more, because that's kind of what the Ravid was. I mean, the Ravid knew better than I do that the Rambam wasn't saying exactly what Rav Meir and Chachamim was saying. Because Rav Meir and Chachamim discussed whether or not you need a Kfira of the Beis Din. Right? So the Ravid knew the Rambam. What's the Ravid really accusing the Rambam? He's saying, listen, the distinction that you're making, although, this is my added parsha note, it's not exactly Rav Meir and the Chachamim, depends on the Ruach HaDvarim of Rav Meir and the Chachamim, Vukimino, Kabiatra, the Parshanut part, but especially the conceptual part. And if we paskin like the Chachamim, regarding the need in both cases for Kfir of the Beis Din, then why should we all of a sudden go the other way and say, you know, that's only true if the shvua, you know, in Mipi Acherim was dafke b'Beis Din. So he says he's passing like our mayor. Well, he couldn't figure out that the Rambam wasn't saying that. It's very clear that the Rambam wasn't saying yichru b'Beis Din. This is real point. The Rambam will say to him, yes and no. If it's shvua mipiatzmo lo makpidin, we don't care where the shvua is as long as the kfira is b'Beis Din. But if we're talking about mipi acherim, we care. So what's the idea of the Rambam? The Rambam is echoing Rabbi Meir. We don't paskin like Rabbi Meir because bifnei Beis Din shlomo the kfira, that is a yesod in shvua seidus. But the idea that mipi acherim piatzmo, that there's still a difference between them, that's Chai V'Kaya. Okay? So I want to show next week about other Nafkamina, and then we'll move on to the Shachar Tarei Gemara.